Those candles are kind of tough to light. I hope we don't have nearly as much time lighting your candles tonight, if you get my drift. With that, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
What a joy it is to welcome all of you. Many of you I know, some of you I think I know, and some of you I don't know. But whoever you are, we're glad you're here. Well, it's too bad that Christmas Eve only happens once a year, but perhaps this service would not be quite as special if it happened more often, right? So welcome to our annual candlelight Christmas Eve service, wherever you are and whoever you are, including those who are watching on Facebook Live. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service is coming to you from the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, a number of special musicians, and Kim Finneson, who engineers and directs our online production and is also our sound technician. Without him, we wouldn't get very far tonight. Neither would have we gotten very far without Kate Fuller, who is our candlelighter tonight. Thank you, Kate. Our liturgist is Beth Patton, and she just happens to be my sister-in-law. So I guess I can wear the stole just a little more proud here. Now, I have a helpful hint or two as we begin this service. First and foremost, in the interest of safety for everyone, we ask that you keep your mask on and over your mouth and nose during the entire service, including the singing of carols. The exception will be, of course, those who speak or sing from the chancel area. All who have been, all of them have been fully vaccinated. Now, you were given an electronic candle. If you do not have a candle in your possession, just raise your hand and make sure one of the greeters will be able to. Looks like everybody's got a candle. And to keep the batteries fresh, we'll just have you keep those off until later in the service on the last hymn. You can kind of mimic what's going on up here, and we're going to kind of let it fly. And if you've been here before, you know what we mean. We do that a little differently. It's not going to end in Silent Night, although that tune is integrated into the service. So during the final stanza of this little light of mine, the candles can be raised, and you are welcome to mimic our worship team and the rhythmic use of those candles. It is a very special part of our service. Let us pray. Eternal God and Emmanuel, we thank you for the choice that has been made for you to be with us. Help us tonight as we tell the story of our faith through music, scripture, and the spoken word, that the stories of long ago would be lifted from page and voice to become the stories of our lives. So we bring all our stories, our experiences, and our perspectives together as we worship and celebrate on this night of wonder within the beloved community we call the church, which extends well beyond the walls of this building. May we all do what may all that we do be permeated with the love we sing about and proclaim. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While flocks in fields are sleeping so silently that night, the sky above was radiant, a holy star. On this Christmas Eve, with all of its imagery and imagination, we relight the candles which turn our imagination into inspiration. First, we relight the candle of hope, because hope does not disappoint us. Second, we relight the candle of peace, because God's peace passes all understanding. Third, we relight the candle of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Fourth, we relight the candle of love, because love is the greatest force in the world. God's gift of Jesus, the Christ, taught us to love by praying for enemies, forgiving debts, loving the unlovely, embracing the foreigner, welcoming the prodigal, and lifting the lowly. Let us pray. Eternal God of love and light, these candles ignite flames that flicker so beautifully in our presence tonight. We ask that these flickers of light would become a torch which burns with passion in our hearts. Give us a passion that goes well beyond our observances and remembrances to a life of service to God, which results in a renewed commitment to love and serve others, whatever the cost. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, 1 through 5. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." And from the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts."
Mahalo, lami, mahalo. from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, written approximately 740 years before Jesus was born. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel, which means, of course, God with us. And then from Luke chapter 2, in that region, shepherds were living in fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord was shining all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for tonight I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men on whose God's favor rests." Hallelujah.
If you have a television in your house, and I'm sure most of you do, you've been very aware of the devastation that has happened in many places in our country, but the ground zero was Mayfield, Kentucky. The entire offering collected tonight will be given to the Salvation Army and their relief efforts. Just a couple of years ago, we held a memorial service for a woman by the name of Blanche Samohovitz, who served for many years in this church, concurrently working at the Salvation Army, reminding us all the time of the need that is so present. And so in many ways, in honor of Blanche, but in our own spirits, to be able to respond, we ask that you give generously if you can, but you do not feel obligated if you are struggling financially. There are others that will give on your behalf. You may have read that charitable giving is down this year, so anything we do tonight will help on this most special of nights. And if you're writing a check, make sure you make it out to the Mayflower Church and designate the amount you intend to give to the Salvation Army, especially if you are including it with any other monies. So there are receptacles at the front and the back, and you can leave your offering if you so choose at the end of the service. Thanks be to God.
From the story that you all think you know, the novella written by Charles Dickens in the 1840s, little peek in what he wrote in Ebenezer Scrooge's interface, terrifying interface with the spirit of Christmas past. Listen to Dickens' offering. It would have been in vain for Scrooge to plead that the weather and the hour were not adapted to this pedestrian purposes. That bed was warm and the thermometer a long way below freezing. That he was clad but lightly in his slippers, dressing gown and nightcap, and that he had a cold upon him at that time. The grasp, though gentle as a woman's hand, was not to be resisted. He rose, but finding that the spirit made towards the window, clasp his robe in supplication. "I'm a mortal," Scrooge remonstrated, "and liable to fall. Bear but a touch on my hand there," said the spirit, laying it upon his heart, "and you shall be upheld in more than this." As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. The city had entirely vanished. Not a vestige of it was to be seen. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold winter day with snow upon the ground. "Good heavens," said Scrooge, clasping his hands together as he looked around him. "I was bred in this place. I was a boy here." The spirit gazed upon him mildly. Its gentle touch, though it had been light and instantaneous, appeared still present to the old man's sense of feeling. He was conscious of 1,000 odors floating in the air, each one connected with 1,000 thoughts and hopes and joys and cares long, long forgotten. "Your lip is trembling," said the ghost. "And what is that upon your cheek?" Scrooge muttered with an unusual catching in his voice that it was a pimple, and begged the ghost to lead him where he would. "You recollect the way?" inquired the spirit. "Remember it," cried Scrooge with fervor. "I could walk it blindfolded." "Strange you have forgotten it for so many years," observed the ghost. "Let's go on." They walked along the road, Scrooge recognizing every gate,
every post and tree until a little market town appeared in the distance with its bridge, its church, and winding river. Some shaggy ponies now had seen trotting towards them with boys upon their backs, who called to other boys in country gigs and carts driven by farmers. All these boys were in great spirits and shouted to each other until the broad fields were so full of merry music that the crisp air laughed to hear it. "These are but the shadows of the things that have been," said the ghost. "These are but shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us." The travelers came on, and as they came, Scrooge knew and named them every one. Why was he rejoiced beyond all bounds to see them all? Why did his cold eye glisten and his heart leap up as they went past? Why was he filled with gladness when he heard them give each other Merry Christmases as they parted at crossroads and byways for their several homes? What was Merry's Christmas to Scrooge? Out upon Merry Christmas! Out upon Merry Christmas! What good had it ever done for him? "The school is not quite deserted," said the ghost. "A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still." Scrooge said he knew it, and he sobbed.
Darkness have seen a great light.
They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Tonight we light the candle of Christ, a light that shines in the darkness. May the light of Christ illuminate the blindness in our souls and the darkness in our hearts. Thanks be to God.
Liberty.
Two readings, the first from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 11, and the second from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Come to me, all you who that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Before the paling of the stars, before the winter moon, before the earliest cock crow, Jesus Christ was born.
Well, are you in the Christmas spirit? I don't think that was 100% response, but that's okay. We heard about Scrooge, didn't we? What does it mean to be in the Christmas spirit? It might mean something different for you than it would for me. I'm one of those crazy guys that pays $26.95 for my subscription to Sirius XM Radio that's on both of my vehicles and also my iPhone. And it's worth every penny, especially at this time of year, because for me, the Christmas spirit begins on the 1st of November. And that's because some of those Sirius XM stations start playing Christmas music. Do you know what, anybody know what station numbers those are? How about 71 and 105? I got a few nods there. Well, this year I've listened to the gamut of Christmas music, from novelty pieces like Snoopy's Christmas. Remember that one? Remember Snoopy and the Red Baron in World War I, and they were out there ready to have a dog fight, and Snoopy's in the sights, and boom, something that didn't happen. Snoopy wondered what, and so the Red Baron pulls up and forces Snoopy to land behind enemy lines, and Snoopy didn't know what was going to happen. And they popped a cork and took a toast and said, "Merry Christmas, my friend," and off Snoopy flew to meet the Red Baron another day. How about this one? "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." Ends with stink, stank, stunk. And here's one I like that not everybody knows. Tell me if you've ever heard this one. Dominic the Italian Donkey. All right, got some takers here. Don't feel so lonely. To the old-time classics like Brenda Lee. What's that favorite that she sings? "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree." How about Burl Ives? You know what his popular song was, don't you? "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas." And of course, Bing Crosby's "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." We're going to miss it this year, folks, but that's okay. More contemporary classics, which I would like to include, would be Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You." The most listened to Christmas song of all time, they tell me. And my favorite voice, other than my wife, Karen Carpenter singing "Merry Christmas, Darling." I also enjoy watching Christmas celebrations on television, especially, did anyone see it, Christmas at Belmont? Ah, that was a good one, wasn't it? And Wednesday night was a little more kind of staid, but it's one of my favorites. How about St. Olaf Christmas from Northfield, Minnesota? And I must tell you that one of the things I look forward to is this Christmas Eve service at Mayflower. It is hard to believe that it is now my fifth Christmas Eve here. I'll never forget 3 years ago when Justin and April sang Ave Maria. I was a basket case that night. I've requested it again. They'll sing it next year, so you come back next year, right? I love all the music tonight. Appreciate all the hard work and preparation for it on the part of all of our musicians and their fearless leader, Barb, Kim Finnis, and so many others. You can just give them a round of applause tonight, folks. Yeah. Not to mention the most talented and beautiful piano player ever. In most churches, it wouldn't be appropriate for the minister to be interested in the piano player. But I've got some privilege here. And I couldn't have experienced any more joy than to share this platform with two people who have shown me the most profound love in the last 10 years since I've been married to that girl, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Dr. Paul and Beth Patton, who also love this congregation. And since last year was a service in which we spoke and sang to a largely empty sanctuary, I want to tell you that it is a joy to welcome all of you, and full pews make a big difference, folks, trust me. Yeah. So how about everybody up here clapping for everybody out there? There are, however, two more traditions for me during the holiday season that I really don't like to do without. When I was a young child, in my earliest of memories, my mother and father took me to the field house where they played basketball at the University of Puget Sound in Tacoma, Washington, to listen to a phenomenal production of The Messiah for several years. And we'd get there about an hour or two early because the concert was free, and so the front seats were available to the early birds, and sure enough, my mom and dad set us on the front seats, and we had to just sit there for an hour and then be quiet through the whole thing, and I'll tell you, that's a long time. Have you ever? I don't know how they did it, but I guess we didn't embarrass them. And I don't feel in the Christmas spirit unless I can listen to it. And I just found out today that on streaming channel 76, Symphony Hall, have you been listening to it? What's his name? Preston Tromley tells us that tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, the Messiah is going to be performed. I love it. And finally, the Christmas Carol, and the first time I ever saw it or read it was when I was 50 years old. And that was, well, it was a little while ago. But it really engaged me. And I never want to miss it at Christmas time, and that's why I asked my brother-in-law, Paul, if he would share some of that phenomenal story and work of Charles Dickens. Because my favorite plays and musicals and films are the ones in which a cold or indifferent heart is warmed and changed, and I could mention a lot of them, one of which is The Sound of Music. You remember how the captain, he softened his heart, and of course, one of my favorites would be Driving Miss Daisy, where the black guy and the older Jewish women got together and became best friends. My goodness, I wept through that. I was with a friend of mine who didn't really think that crying was appropriate for a man. He looked over at me like, what's going on? So be it. Well, I would like to take the Christmas spirit a step farther tonight, just for a little bit, and make the Christmas spirit permanent rather than temporary, if indeed we want it to be. And I'll tell you, it begins with me. There's great irony here because it's not all a bad thing to be an Ebenezer Scrooge. We always think of a Scrooge in a negative light, but you might have caught it. Did you know that Scrooge wept? That may have been a new one on you. And Scrooge had some qualities to be admired. He listened to his ghosts, even if he was forced to do so. Ghosts, especially from our past, have a way of forcing us to listen, sometimes at rather inopportune times in our lives. Scrooge also worked hard. He saved his money and provided employment for others. I watched several versions this week, including a children's musical, and I was entranced. Scrooge demanded a fair day's effort for a fair day's wage. He apparently had an eye for good employees from whom he expected high levels of work. And he did something many never do. Many never nicer people do. He changed. How did such a miserly, seemingly uncaring, and rigid skinflint do something sometimes the nicest people in the world don't do? Well, we know what the end of the story is, but we might have forgotten the heart of the story. Now, I have never considered myself a Scrooge. I love Christmas, or I wouldn't be here tonight. But as I have been watching the episodes this week in preparation, and Dr. Paul, which read an expert so dramatically and poignantly, I have made a painful discovery that I have some Scrooge in me. My suspicion is that we might all have some Scrooge in us because of events and circumstances in our past or present over which we have little or no control. But what we do have control over is how we respond to the things that create Scroogeness, a word I just invented. I would like to challenge each of us here tonight not to leave before thinking of some way we would be changed with more than just the Christmas spirit. It's okay to have the Christmas spirit. But I thought to myself, did it happen just when I started listening to those Christmas tunes a couple of months ago or less than that? To use Scrooge as an inspiration, he took an introspective journey into his past, and that's a scary thing. When he did that, the ghost of Christmas past became, instead of haunting ghosts, cherished memories.
his sister, and his estranged lover, Belle, and I'm counting on some of your knowledge, no longer reminded him of the haunting ghosts of opportunities lost, love gone, or hardened hearts. And instead of despising his deceased business partner and the ghost of Marley, he began to think of Marley more compassionately as a human being, instead of just a partner in a business venture, which would make them a lot of money. And then, in the ghosts of Christmas past, there was my favorite character, Mr. Fezziwig, who cleared away the warehouse floor at 7, I'll say it, on a Christmas Eve, ready to invite the children, become like children, and dance with children. Scrooge loved Mr. Fezziwig and had mourned his passing. And I want to tell you, I love Mr. Fezziwig. When I went to Oakland University, or Meadowbrook Theater a few years ago, some of you have been there and watched the Christmas Carol, that was the best presentation of Mr. Fezziwig I ever saw, and he danced around that room like there was no tomorrow and nobody was watching. Mr. Fezziwig. Then there was the ghost of Christmas Present, Bob Cratchit, Scrooge's faithful and diligent employee, his lovely wife and children who were happy and grateful in spite of their humble and often difficult circumstances, and their disabled little son, Tiny Tim, attended church on Christmas and reminded all of the one who causes the blind to see and the lame to walk. His crippling disease might have prevented him from a healthy, productive life were it not for the potential healing kindness and generosity of others, including Scrooge. Then there were the solicitors for the poor, whose requests were always denied with a retort from Scrooge, "Bah, humbug," decrying the surplus population who belong in workhouses and prisons. And as I thought about this for myself, we all need to rid ourselves of that ghost, a trait we too often share with Scrooge when we judge the beggar, condemn the prostitute, and withhold from the needy. And then the son of his sister, Scrooge's nephew, who never responded in kind to the bah humbugs of Scrooge. The tendency to respond in kind is a trait that might become or might be a ghost for us. Finally, in the ghost of Christmas yet to come, Scrooge and all of us are presented with the opportunity to change the future beginning tonight. What would that look like for me? Indeed, what would it look like for you if you left here with more than just the Christmas spirit? Maybe it would begin with a more generous contribution to the relief effort we support tonight, or more subsequent compassion for hurting people everywhere. And everywhere people hurt. Perhaps a new commitment to treat those we love with more affection. To give to the beggar, not condemn. To volunteer at a place that tugs at our heart. To reach out to the cranky neighbor. To be kinder to our planet. To turn scorekeeping into peacemaking, to forgive a loved one from long ago or that someone who has been on your naughty list and mine. And don't forget that Santa and God don't really keep naughty lists. Only we do that. Or after the hurt, judgment, and exclusion you felt within a church years ago, perhaps you would consider joining another beloved community and taking a chance on churches as flawed as we are. Maybe even Mayflower, that's a shameless plug. Regardless, when we walk out tonight, let us let our ghosts become opportunities and we will all be changed. If Scrooge can change, so can I. Let's sing like angels and dance like Mr. Fezziwig. Merry Christmas, Mayflower.
Thank you.
My benediction is simply this: what a joy it's been for all of us to be here tonight and to be in your presence. It's my privilege as a pastor to look out and, well, just express a little pride. And it would be my hope that some of you are here tonight, I might have the opportunity to get to know you a little better. And with that, I'll make another shameless plug. Christmas is tomorrow, and you're going to be hopefully with families or somewhere where you can experience all the joy of the season. But there's a day that coming after Christmas, and it's the 26th, and we decided that we're going to have as much fun as we can on that day. And you know, in a church that observes Advent, and we do, sometimes we are not able to sing all the Christmas carols we'd like to sing, so we're going to let it all hang out on Sunday. And the best song leader in the city of Lansing is with us tonight, and she'll be with us on Sunday. She's got a banjo. She's absolutely the best teacher at Waverly High School. Her name is Sally Potter, and she will be leading us in a carol. I tell you what, pressure's on, Sally. So I'll say it once again, and you know there's a depth of meaning that goes far beyond the normal. Merry Christmas, let's dance. practicing what you preach. Go in the peace of God this wonderful Christmas Eve evening. God bless all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.